This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وأطهر المرسلين، شفيع المذنبين وحبيب رب العالمين، محمد صلوات ربي وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. إن الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأن محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم عبده ورسوله، بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة، وتركها على المحجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the most merciful, all praise is due to Allah. We bear witness that no one is worthy of worship but Allah, and we bear witness that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is indeed his final messenger. The best of speech is the book of Allah, and the best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who listen to the best of speech and follow the best of guidance. The book of Allah and the way of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya ahbab rasulillahi salawatu rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi, jaa sahabiyun ila nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa rawa lahu qissa ma kana minhu fi thalika al-yawm. A companion once came to the Prophet, peace be upon him, to tell him about what has happened during his day. He said, O Messenger of Allah, I was walking in the market. He said, O Messenger of Allah, and there passed by me a beautiful woman. He said, I kept walking, وَجَعَلْتُ أَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهَا, and I was looking at her. She's walking by, I'm looking at her as I am walking. Of course, I didn't see what was in front of me because I was too busy looking at the woman. He said, O Messenger of Allah, the minute I turned, there was a pole and I ran into the pole. And my nose bled as a result of this. And I was so ashamed of what just happened, I decided that I am not cleaning myself. I am just going to take this and take it to the Prophet, peace be upon him. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, told him the story of what happened. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say much. But Allah spoke at that point. And it was revealed to the Prophet, peace be upon him, at that point, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. He said, inform the believing men to lower their gazes and protect their private parts, or protect their chastity. And then the following verse says, and tell the believing women to lower their gaze and protect their chastity. And Allah informs us that ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ, that this is much purer for them. As you know, my brothers and sisters, Islam came with all these rituals, but it came, generally speaking, with five principles, in order that we implement them five principles. You know, recognize the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, appreciate the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Make sure that we are involved in social service, social justice for the people who are around us. But then one thing that Islam truly emphasizes is that the subjugation of passion, that we be in charge of our own desires, not having our desires run our affairs. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this a condition. If you want to go to paradise, فَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ هذه الأولى وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. It says, for those who truly stand the meeting before their Lord, because one day, subhanAllah, we will go through that. Those who are aware and those who are concerned about the day that when they meet their Lord, وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى, they subjugated their passion. They directed themselves, not being directed by their own desires. فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Give them the good news. وَالْفَاءَ الْعَاقِبَةَ أي عَاقِبَةَ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ الْجَنَّةُ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. That truly their final abode is going to be paradise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of the people of paradise. But see, this is not something that we just wish. Rather that this is something that we have to work for. Be concerned about the day that we meet our Creator, and remember that our own nafs, our own selves, they have lowly desires. The desires themselves are not the problem. But what happens is, in what channels do you put the desires? It's not wrong to have the desires. Have them. But the Quran says, make sure that you put them in the proper channel, so that you are engaged in self-discipline and self-control, and that is a mark of a believer. That a believer is in charge of your own self to begin with. So today, my brothers and sisters, I'm going to talk to you about an industry that has been making so much money of the fact that we are led by our desires and temptations and not the other way around. It is precisely what Allah speaks about when it said, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Tell the believing men, the believing women, to lower their gaze and protect their chastity. We'll be talking about pornography. These sexually images that are used, marketed to us to arouse people. And people are hooked into it. And they are addicted to it. An industry that has been corrupting families, young people, leading into divorce, and some of the most terrible acts of addictions. Pornography is serious, my brothers and sisters. The average, I'm just going to throw some numbers at you, dazzling numbers. There are 420 million pages on the web dedicated to pornography. There are 4.2 million websites dedicated to nothing but pornography. At every given second, listen to this, at every given second, there are 29,000 people on the net looking for pornography. At every given second, not day, not minute, at every given second, 29,000 people looking for pornography. That translates into 68 million searches a day only for pornography. The saddest of all, 160,000 of them are people looking for child pornography. Every 39 minutes, there is a website that comes on dedicated only to pornography. In the US here, people spend over $1 billion a month just for pornography. Worldwide average is over $100 million a day. This is how much money people invest or waste on pornography. We live in the place that makes most pornographic movies in the world, San Gabriel Valley, 13,000 movies a year. Because they're consumers. On constant basis, people are finding these consumers. and these customers. And what happens about pornography nowadays is that it's only a click away. You are in your own room, private office. Nobody's looking. It's your laptop. Maybe you're in the coffee shop or wherever you may be. It is just a click away. If you have an email, the junk mail, you go there, you will have access to it. If you don't look for it, it will look for you. The average age of a child beginning being bombarded with these pornographic images is 8. This is when they are first exposed to it. And remember, my brothers and sisters, we don't look at these problems and say, kafir problems. We don't have a problem like this in our community. Alhamdulillah, we are Muslims. That is what we call an illusion. That is lying to ourselves. This is feel good, but there is really no basis for it. Because it is serious. And it is a serious issue in our own communities. We Muslims are guilty of this. We are impacted by it. Our families are impacted by it. And unless we address it, unless we bring it to the open and say, look, this is a problem that is taking place, we will be in deep trouble, my brothers and sisters. Pornography is responsible for at least 20% of divorce that is taking place. You may not be consuming it, but somebody else may be. As a child who has never been exposed to it or never thought of consuming it, because a family member is, that's led to divorce, now you are impacted by it even though you've never seen it. You don't even know what it is. So we've got to bring this up. We've got to talk about these issues. And subhanAllah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one beautiful thing about our beloved messenger is that he spoke about issues that were of concern to the masses. In fact, wallahi, there was this author, a British author. She said about him, of all the people that spoke about sex, the only person that spoke about sex openly and honestly was the Prophet of Islam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't shy away from talking about this. Allah speaks about it. The Prophet, peace be upon him, spoke about it. But what happens is, to what end are we speaking about it? So that we are enlightened. So that we are empowered. Some of us are parents. Want to know about this so that I can talk about it to my children. Some of us are the young ones. And you know what? Every time I click on my computer, images like these, they bombard me and I just don't know what to do with it. And some of us, man, I know exactly what you're talking about because I suffer from this. I am addicted to it. So hiding our heads in the sand is no longer an option. You see this, you speak about it. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does the most beautiful job in speaking about it. You all know that hadith where the Prophet, peace be upon him, says, oh young men, whoever is able to get married, let them get married. You all know that hadith, Ibn Mas'ud. That hadith has a story. Ibn Mas'ud said that one time we were in the masjid, Medina, the masjid of the Prophet, peace be upon him. And he said these were a gathering of all the young single companions, young single men. And he said, and we were talking about that which young men talk about. What do young men talk about when they're together? Single young men, what do they talk about? Talk about women. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, walked in. And he said, and he looked into our eyes. And he immediately knew what we were talking about. So he smiled and he said, Ya ma'ashar al-shabab, man istata'a minkum al-ba'ata falyatazawwaj. Said, young man, I'm giving you advice. If you can afford it, you better get married. So he knew about it. It is natural. It's part of our development. If you live long enough, you will go through that stage. But now what happens is, what do you do with that? In what channel do you put it? One of the most beautiful stories, story collected by Imam Muslim, about this companion named Jubair. Jubair said that one day, I was at the outskirts of Medina, and I was enjoying the company of women. Said I was just sitting there, chit-chatting with the women. Said I had no business to be there. But he said, I love their company, and I was just chit-chatting with them. So when the Prophet, peace be upon him, passed by, and he said, ما تفعل مع النسوة؟ What are you doing with them women? And he said, oh, I said, I was so embarrassed. I had to make up a lie, he said. He said, I had to lie. He said, Ya Rasulallah, yasna'na li hablan li jamalin sharudin indi. He said, oh messenger of Allah, these women are making a rope for me for a camel that just keeps running away from me. He said, I knew I was lying. The Prophet, peace be upon him, knew that I was lying. And he said, it was a pathetic lie. He said nothing. He smiled and he just went by. So the next day I was in Medina. And I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam behind me. He said, I started walking really fast because I wanted to avoid him. Said the Prophet, peace be upon him, walked really fast and he caught up with me. And he came next to me and he said, كيف حال الجمل? Said, how's your camel doing? Said, I was too embarrassed and I just looked down. Said, the next day, the Prophet, peace be upon him, was ahead of me. And I was behind him. He said, I started walking really slow, just avoiding him. Said, the Prophet, peace be upon him, looked back and he waited for me. And as soon as I came to him, he said, كيف حال الجمل? How's your camel doing? Said, I was too embarrassed. Said, the third day, I was praying inside the masjid. And I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam walk in. Said, I decided to make it the longest salah ever. Because I don't want to face the Prophet, peace be upon him. Said, he came and he sat next to me. And he said, لا تطل فإني أنتظرك. Said, don't make it too long, I am waiting for you. Said, I was done with the salah. Salam alaikum, salam alaikum. And the Prophet smiled and looked at me and he said, كيف حال الجمل? How's your camel doing? Said, the Prophet of Allah, I have such a good grip on it, it's not running away anymore. See, at that point, the man knew there was no camel. The Prophet ﷺ knew there was no camel. It became a symbolic talk. It became a talk to address something that this young man is doing. And the Prophet ﷺ is helping him. And the man knows. But this was not, you know, avoiding it or just, you know, pushing it under the rug. No, man, this is about addressing the issue. This is a real issue. It's breaking families down. And unless we talk about it, it's going to be a bigger problem. So what is it that is wrong with it? Subhanallah, please pay attention to this. The biggest thing about porn is that it kills the natural stimulants in the person who is consuming it. Let me explain. See, subhanallah, with us, when we are exposed to anything, once it's exciting, twice it's exciting, three times it's almost exciting, four times, then we become desensitized. So now what happens is that we need to, you know, get some more. What was exciting us initially is not doing it. But we want that excitement. So what you do is that you push more and more and more. And that is precisely why there is so much porn out there. Because eventually when people are desensitized to it, you just keep giving them more. So that you create that excitement, you keep that excitement coming again and again and again. So what happens now, the natural stimulants that are within us are now dead. The saddest is when you see a sister coming with her husband, saying, Shaykh, next to my husband, I don't feel like I'm a woman. There is nothing that I can do to excite my husband. My husband is only excited when he watches porn. It is just destroying my family. What do you do to that? And if he keeps consuming this, then that is just as good as having an affair. I see this happening every day in my family and there is nothing that I can do about it. And here comes the brother and he's just really embarrassed. Says, yes, it is a problem. I just don't know what to do. So it all begins by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us. If you're a believer, remember, the whole idea behind the deen is that you subjugate your passion. That we are in the process of self-discipline, self-control. Yes, I know it's exciting, but I love Allah more. Yes, I know there is temptation there, but this is all about self-control and self-discipline. What is the whole idea about fasting and all that? It's all about standing up for our temptation. It all begins with this. If we cannot defeat the enemy within, there is really nothing that we can do about the enemy outside. So we must do that, my brothers and sisters. Applying these Quranic principles, lower your gaze. Yes, it is exciting. Lower your gaze. The beautiful thing about our deen is it's very practical. It is very pragmatic. You cannot guard your chastity unless you lower your gaze. So you better lower your gaze. Be it in the form of porn on the net, porn on TV, or just outside, you better lower your gaze. Because if you do not lower your gaze, then you are exposing yourself to the next level. And that is inability, يَحْفَظُ فُرُوجَهُمْ, protecting our chastity. So that does not work. The second thing is that these are young people. We're talking about children as young as 11 and 12. Wallahi, I have seen Muslim kids who are addicted to pornography. And I'm not making, wallahi, I'm not making any of this up. These are people that I have seen, I talk to. Young kid, he can barely express himself well, said, Sheikh, I watch this every day. I can't go to sleep without watching it. You're only 12. So what happens now is that before these kids are fully developed, they are being bombarded with all these sexual images, and they're just not mature enough to know how to contend with it. So as a result, it is really messing up their minds. There was a hearing in the Congress, and listen to this. A hearing in the Congress, and a spokeswoman for this, you know, against porn industry, she's speaking to the Congress people there. She said the following. She said that addiction to porn is far more serious than addiction to crack and cocaine. Then she explains and she said, you can actually clean your body from crack and cocaine. You can get detoxicated. Your body is now clean. It's been cleansed. There is no longer any traces of coke or cocaine in your body. But she said with pornographic images, they are so ingrained in the mind that getting rid of them is almost impossible. And as a result now, we become captives and prisoners to these images that have been there for so long, that we've been bombarded with it for so long. And I know that this is not a very comfortable topic. Wallahi, I tell you this. Wallahi, I feel it. This is not a very comfortable topic. And I know that we could have picked a much safer topic to address. But that is not the point. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not shy away from talking about these issues. He would address these issues. And he would talk about them. And he would talk about them so beautifully and openly and honestly, like that British author said. Listen to this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, لا يكن أحدكم كالبهيمة. Said that one of you should not be like a beast. يَضْرِبُ زَوْجَتَهُ بِالنَّهَارِ وَيَنَامُ مَعَهَا بِاللَّيْلِ. When he beats his wife during the day and then expects to sleep with her at night. So only an animal does this. But then again, the point is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not shy away from addressing these issues. So the point is, we want to bring about that awareness. You have a young child. You have a son, you have a daughter. Say, you have an email, don't you? You have a Facebook account, don't you? You know, son, you know, my daughter, every time you go on the net, sometimes just strange stuff pops up. Stuff like that comes up, son, daughter. You know, indecent pictures, they come up. I'm just wondering, son, what do you do when that happens? Or dad, I click on it and I just close it immediately. MashaAllah, son. Talk about it. You've got to address this. Pretending like they don't go through it does not solve the problem. You've got to address stuff like that. Have to talk about it. As uncomfortable as it is, brothers, if we do not do the education, if we don't do the educating of our children, somebody else will be doing that. If we don't empower them as to how to fight and resist all that temptation, somebody else is doing that. We're talking about 29,000 people a second are on it looking for that porn. So our job as parents, our job as young people is, I know this to be a problem. I may have that problem. I will ask the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and eventually I want to make sure that I rid myself of this. Something else that porn does. SubhanAllah, with porn, people who are engaged in it, you know, people talk about poor self-esteem. You want to know about poor self-esteem? Ask a person who is addicted to porn. So I'm just ashamed of myself. I can't even see myself. I can't even look myself in the mirror. What happens? Please pay attention. If our principles are up there, our principles and values are up there, and our actions and behaviors are down here, the higher the gap between what we believe, what we think, and what we do, the higher the gap, the more misery we bring into our lives. What it is now that I become very ashamed of what I have done, and I become guilty about what I have, how I have behaved, and I become very ashamed of myself. And as a result, people become depressed. More ashamed, more depressed, more ashamed, more depressed, and it just gets to be a vicious cycle. So not only now it's impacting our families, killing our natural stimulants, but now it's just the way that we see ourselves, it is just too embarrassing. I can't even look myself in the mirror. And as a result, we want to avoid all of that. But it must begin with awareness. What is happening there is serious stuff. And unless we take a stand, empower one another, then we are going to be in deep trouble. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from this, ya Rabbal Alameen. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على رسوله المصطفى وعلى من بآثاره اقتفى. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: النظرة سهم مسموم من سهام إبليس. He said that a glance is like a poisoned arrow of the arrows of the shaitan. Because once you're guilty of it, it does something to you. It has the impact of poison. And if you keep consuming that poison, it will eventually kill you. The way that it kills you, two ways. It kills your conscience. Please see if you can follow this with me. They say that with all addictions, we go through four stages. We think about it, spend time in thinking, fantasize, plan, do it, feel guilty. And then time comes by. Then you start thinking again, fantasize, plan it, execute it, and then feel guilty. Time passes by. Think about it, fantasize, plan it, do it, feel guilty. And you know what happens eventually? You think about it, you plan it, you do it, but then you don't feel guilty. You don't feel guilty because you've done it so much, so many times. So number one, it kills our conscience. That poison that the Prophet, peace be upon him, spoke about, that it is of the arrows, the poisoned arrows of shaitan, that number one, that poison, you just keep consuming it, it kills you. And the first way that it kills you, that it kills your conscience. Secondly, it kills you spiritually. People say, you know what, Sheikh, I don't like coming to the masjid anymore. Why, brother? Sheikh, I'm just involved in this. And every time I just watch it, I feel so bad. And I just feel like a hypocrite. I don't even want to come to the masjid. So what do? I stop coming to the masjid. Why, akhi? Because, Sheikh, how can I come to the masjid and I know what I did last night, but now I am at the masjid. So now the person says, what good is Fajr? I know what I did last night. Comes Dhuhr time, what good is Dhuhr? I didn't even pray my Fajr. And subhanAllah, it snowballs. It snowballs. في هذا يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المعاصي بريد الكفر. So that eventually the collections and the accumulation of sins will deliver us into disbelief. So that's not what we want. But rather what we want is, wallahi, there is hope. Please get the help. Alhamdulillah, you know, I keep telling you about our department at Access California Family Resource Center. We do have a mental health department there where we help people with their addiction. If that happens to be an issue that you have, please come to us. Very confidential, non-judgmental. It's a very relaxed atmosphere. And inshallah, we will do our best in extending all the help to our family. But please begin by recognizing that this is wrong and it is actually a disease that is eating up at my spirituality, my conscience, and it is eating up into my family as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all, Ya Rabbul Alameen. It will not be appropriate that we finish this khutbah today without commending and congratulating and applauding the people of Tunisia and the people of Egypt. Because what they have done is that they have reinstated hope. We congratulate them and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide them, Ya Rabbul Alameen, to do that which is best for their people. And we keep in our prayers the people of Libya and the people of Yemen and the people of Algeria. And wherever people are oppressed, we keep them in our prayers. But see, somebody says, wait a minute, how are you jumping from talking about pornography to dictatorship? Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laid the ground for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya ayyuhal muddaffir, fa'anzir, wa rabbaka fakabbir, wa ba'deen, wa thiyabaka fatahir, wa rujza fahjur. Said, in order to truly glorify your Lord, Rabbaka, to glorify your Lord, he said, one thing that you have to do is that you've got to purify yourself. And then what? وَالرُّجْزَ فَهْجُرُ. You've got to shun evil. But see, evil is not only dictatorship. Evil is pornography. Evil is alcoholism. Evil is gambling. That is all evil. Being a womanizer, a playboy, a playgirl, that is all evil. And Islam says, وَالرُّجْزَ فَهْجُرُ. We cannot stand up to these people. Subhanallah, Malcolm X said it so beautifully. You know, people are talking about stand up for yourself and stand up for this. He said to the people, look man, you can't stand up if you're too high. If you're high, you cannot really do any standing up. So where does it begin? He said, before we stand up, we must wake up. Clean up, and then we can stand up. Wake up means be aware. And then clean up, الرُّجْزَ فَهْجُرُ, shun the evil. And once we do this, we can stand up to dictators, to anything else. But before that, we've got to make sure that we are spiritually as strong. So please keep this in mind. And like I said, wallahi, this was nothing but to share with my brothers and sisters what we see, the issues that are there in our families. If you don't have that problem, alhamdulillah, please keep empowering yourself and keep empowering your family. May Allah protect our families, Ya Rabbul Alameen. If you happen to have children, please make sure that you talk to them about it. If you yourself are suffering from it, please make sure that you get the help. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all, Ya Rabbul Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify our gazes, help us in lowering our gazes, help us in protecting our chastity, Ya Rabbul Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our children. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us against the evil of our own selves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala empower us to fight temptation, Ya Rabbul Alameen, wherever they may be and wherever they may come from. Allahumma ya Rabbi tahir qulubana. Allahumma ya Rabbi tahir qulubana. Wahassin furujana. Wakhtum bis salihat al baqiyati ajalana. Allahumma ya Rabbi tahir qulubana min al nifaq. Wa'amalana min al riya'. Wa'amalana min al riya'. Ya Rabbi wa'alsinatana min al kathib. وأعيننا من الخيانة وأموالنا من الحرام برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم يا رب إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم يا رب ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر. الله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.